Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Flott. We're live and local in the studio with you on this Wednesday morning. Hey, we're going to have some talk this morning about Earth Day coming up this Saturday at Alameda Park Zoo, and I can't wait for it, by golly. We're going to find out more with this morning. Again, coming in is Sarah Moody, and she has brought her pet kangaroo, Mouse, with her again this morning. Hey, good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
You're all ready for Saturday, getting ready, right?
Yes, definitely. It's been a busy week at the zoo.
Right. It's been a very busy week, probably several weeks. Now, we were talking about the weather before we went on the air. It looks like it's going to be another nice day.
Yes, it's been beautiful, and everybody's been out at the zoo.
And last weekend, the zoo was busy.
Yes, we were very busy.
When people come into the zoo when it's a non-event like not Earth Day, what do they pay to get into the zoo?
For adults, it's $5. For seniors and children, it's $3.
$3. Mm-hmm. And they can be there as long as they want.
Yes. You can also bring in your lunch and eat at one of our picnic tables, too.
Do some people do that?
Yes, they do.
So they make it a day at the zoo.
Yes.
Yeah. They can't get to the San Diego Zoo, so say, hey, we'll just stay at our own zoo here in Alamogordo.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a great zoo for sure. All kinds of improvements going on. What are some of the more unique animals we have at Alameda Park Zoo? Kangaroos, of course.
Yes, kangaroos are definitely. So in our kangaroo enclosure, we also have emus. So at first, I thought that seemed a little silly, but after researching it, the kangaroos and emus both live in the wild together in Australia. So that's a normal occurrence. Right now, we're still working on our perimeter fence. So yesterday we moved the deer in with the alpacas. So they're all together for right now. And it was very interesting watching them get to know each other and be a little protective and just the social structures going on.
Well, they're kind of from the same family, aren't they?
They're all what we call ungulates, which are hooved mammals.
Right.
And they're all usually herbivores and a prey species. So they all kind of have that same drive to stay away from predators and stick together.
Right. So when people drive by the Alameda Park Zoo, and we talked about this the last time you were here, they see the construction going on there, the barricades and that, is for the new fence.
Yes. So we're getting a new perimeter fence. So currently, they're pouring the concrete this week for the part that goes around the wolf enclosure, and then they're going to start tearing down the old wall on the side where the deer were.
Very good. So good improvements at the zoo. Do you know what the construction charge is for that project?
I'm not sure. I know the funding is from the infrastructure capital improvement projects. It's from the state of New Mexico, but the city gets to choose what top projects they want to prioritize. And so they've been prioritizing the zoo for quite a few years. This money is from a few years ago, and we're just now getting the projects. We've been approved for more projects that will be coming in the future.
What are some of the other projects you've been approved for?
So the bear enclosure, we're going to be expanding it. It will end up being about double the size. We're still working on the planning, but it will kind of be two sections, possibly connected by a tunnel or something else like that.
Specifically for only for the bears?
Just for the American black bears, yeah.
Yeah. So they can come out of their hibernation from a tunnel.
Exactly.
Do they hibernate here in the wintertime?
So they don't go into complete hibernation, but they definitely, it's hard to see them in the winter. The last 2 weeks, they just finally started coming out a lot. In the winter, their body temperature lowers and their metabolism lowers, and they just get really lazy.
Yes. Sounds like me in the wintertime sometimes.
We actually switch up their diet in the winter for less calories, and then this time of year, switch it up for different things when they would be coming out of hibernation.
Now, Sarah, when they come out of hibernation, what do they do? I mean, they just kind of mope around a little bit and say, well, it's springtime, I better get with it.
Well, the first thing a bear, when they come out of hibernation, is they're going to be hungry. They haven't had anything to eat or drink in the last few months.
So I won't be feeding the bears for you, okay?
No. No, and then it's springtime, so they're enjoying the sun. The animals love sunning. All the animals have been super active and just loving the spring weather.
Yeah, like we all are, for sure.
Exactly.
Right now. Well, let's go into some of the things going on Earth Day. What do we have, kind of the agenda for Earth Day?
Well, students from across the county are participating in raising caterpillars into butterflies. So we've got over 300 butterflies were raised by local students. We'll be releasing those butterflies at noon in our butterfly garden. This is going to be a symbolic gesture for conservation and representing these future stewards that have raised these butterflies and how they're going to be the stewardship of our planet. We've also got Prehistoric Companions, a reptile show that's going to be going on in our education building from 9 to 2.
No, what kind of a show is that?
So it's an educational show about reptiles, and they have different lizards and snakes and that you can learn more about and interact with.
Oh, you get live reptiles.
Yes, exactly.
Very good. All right.
We also are having lots of education booths featuring local conservation organizations. They're going to have activities for kids and adults to just learn more about what you can do to help our planet. And we've got the Native and Adaptive Plant Sale. It's spring, perfect time to be out buying plants. We have the Native Plant Society and the Master Gardeners having a sale. And these guys will be out here helping. They can help you pick what plants that you need for your yard so that you can plant things for pollinators and other things too.
Right. Now, they're at that Earth Day every year.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't miss a lick.
Yes.
And they're very knowledgeable, too, because in one of my interviews with them, I think it was maybe last year or whatever, we talked about the native plants and the ones that we should be utilizing here in Alamogordo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's very interesting. And you can buy them there as well.
Yes. So they're selling the plants. You can come and get all the plants you need for your garden this year.
Right. I know one big thing there would be other vendors as well. What are some of the vendors we're going to have?
Well, we're having lots of different groups. We're going to have the Alamogordo Farmers Market, and with Many Hands is going to be there, also talking about food, growing food and food waste.
Yeah, because they've got a garden here in town.
Yeah, exactly. So they'll
be out
there.
I think it's off of Cuba Avenue, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. We have the Brackish Groundwater National Desalination Research Facility. They're going to be out there talking about how their research in desalinating water, and that's kind of an important step for our future of this planet, too, is clean water.
And I know we've been working on desalinization here in Alamogordo because the plant's over there off of Lavelle Road, and I know they're working on bringing water in from the northern part of Otero County, up by Three Rivers and that, and piping it down, but they don't have the pipes in place yet to get the water into the desalinization plant.
Yeah.
So they're working on that too.
Yeah, so it will be really interesting to come out and have an opportunity to learn more about it and ask questions to the people that are out there doing the research.
Right.
We also have Desert Willow Wildlife Rehabilitation. They're going to be bringing some of their education animals out, so that will be cool to see them.
Now, what kind of educational animals?
You don't really know until the day they come, because education animals, you just don't know which one you're going to be able to.
Right.
So it will be a surprise, but they typically have different birds of prey, and then they also have some mammals, too, that they might
Very good.
Let's see, who else do we have? We have Keep Alamogordo Beautiful is going to be out there helping with the cleanup and stuff like that. I just found out yesterday the school district's going to bring their flow bus out there.
Okay.
So, and we've got the state park, Oliver Lee Memorial State Park will be out there. New Mexico Fish and Game will be out there teaching about native wildlife. Let's see. The Forest Service is going to be there with Smokey Bear.
Smokey's going to be there.
Yes, it's his 80th birthday this year. We're kind of unique, too, with the zoo being here. Smokey Bear was found right around the corner from us.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And we have black bears at our zoo. Both of our black bears we had now have come from up in the mountains, too. They were both problem bears getting into stuff and needed a home. So that's kind of cool. We've got White Sands National Park is going to be out there talking about the moths that they have out there and the pollinators right. They have there. So it's going to be a lot of fun and very informative. Lots of things for children to do. And I think anybody who comes out is going to walk away knowing more about what we're doing right here and how they can get involved.
Yeah. Now, if people want to bring their own bottles of water or something like that or food items, they really don't have to because there will be vendors there, correct?
Yes, we're going to have some food vendors. I don't have the list of who they are, but we'll have food vendors there that you can get a bite to eat.
Yeah. Green chili cheeseburger, if it's available. Used to be with the Lions Club. Well, now the neat part about Earth Day in Alamogordo, Sarah, is it is absolutely free.
Yes. So everything's going to be free. It's free entry. We're not even really having products for sale. So everything there will be free. And it's all centered around education and learning about what we can do to protect our planet.
Yes. It's always a fun time for us. We love going there. Now, after Earth Day, I think it's on Monday the 22nd, you have a school Earth Day event, correct?
Yeah, so the Tularosa School District, the second graders at their elementary school are also raising caterpillars for me, and they're coming out on a field trip on Monday, which is actually Earth Day. We're going to release their caterpillars then, and we're going to do some activities and learn more about conservation with the students, too.
Do we know how many caterpillars are raising?
They're raising, I think, around 30.
About 30.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be another fun event and everything else. So, Earth Day, this is our, what year celebration is this for Alamogordo?
I'm not really sure. It's been going on for such a long time. I haven't gotten a date as to when the first one was, but that's a good question. We should look into
it. I can go back and check my record, but for some reason, I'm thinking 31 years, but I'll need to check that and see.
So I know Earth Day, I believe, was started in 1970, and it's one of the biggest holidays on the planet because it's celebrated in every country.
Right. And then Seth Reed was the original man, and you've heard of him and everything else, that we've worked with for all of those years on Earth Day and everything else, and really was always a great event for us. Last year was a great event. This year, the way everything sounds now, it's going to be better than last year.
Yeah, that's the hope each year, to make it just a little bit better,
yes.
Right?
So you and Kate and the team there have done a marvelous job. Let's talk about the employees at Alameda Park Zoo. It's not just two of you guys.
No. We don't have a lot of employees. There's only 10 of us that work there.
Right.
So, and 5 of those just go to care of the animal. So we have 4 zookeepers who take care of the animals on a daily basis. We have a zookeeper lead, and those are mainly our animal staff. Then we have Kate, who's our manager, me, who does the education programs.
Right.
We have Brooke, who's our cashier, Palmer, who works in the kitchen and prepares the diets each day. And then we have Aaron, who's the maintenance staff. So it's kind of one of each of us, and then we've got the staff to take care of the animals.
So when you say Aaron, who's in the kitchen doing the preparing the diets each day and everything else, you just don't put a bunch of food in the tub and throw it out to them?
No, they have a specific diet for each animal based on their natural biology. They also have a rotating diet, so what they get on Monday is not the same as what they get on Wednesday or Saturday. So we have a whole diet book that each day you follow. And so that gives them, make sure they get a rotating diet so they get everything that they need. And it's also stimulation to get new, different things.
they may eat better than I eat.
Yeah.
With those diets like that, you know.
Yeah, they have a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables. You should see the truckloads of vegetables and fruit that we get. So.
Yeah, a lot of fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Now, Sarah, tell me a little bit about your education. You're the educational coordinator for Alameda Park Zoo. So what is your educational background?
So I have an undergraduate degree in wildlife biology from Texas State University in San Marcos. So I went to school there. I started working in wildlife rehabilitation. I did that for a few years. That was a lot of fun. Then I started working for the county in Texas where I lived in Williamson County and started doing endangered species management. Regional habitat management plans. It's kind of how you can comply with the Endangered Species Act and how we can conserve the endangered species and do construction. So I did that for a few years. I moved out here last summer and started this job, and I'm loving it. Everything I've done, I've learned, it comes back to education, right. Educating people. People just don't know about the small changes they can make to make a difference in conservation. And so this opportunity gives me a chance to educate people about the things I've learned.
And you love doing that, I can tell.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Now, how did you end up in Alamogordo, though? Was there a job posting you saw?
My husband got a job out here, and so we were moving out here, and it just was good timing. You know, it was kind of perfect timing.
Yeah. Where does he work out here?
He works at North Elementary. He's a special education teacher.
Very good. So you work together.
Yes. Yeah. The two of us have always worked in public service, and we very much enjoy working for the people.
Now, when you said you worked in Texas with endangered species, what are some of those that you were working or, you know, working for in Texas?
So I was working, the most charismatic one is the golden cheek warbler. So that's a bird that every golden cheek warbler is born in central Texas. They only nest in that area. They go down to Mexico in the winter, but they all come back. So everyone's a Texas native. The less charismatic ones, we're endangered cave bugs. So we have, in central Texas, there's a lot of caves underneath, karst formations. And there's bugs that live down there that are on the endangered species list. So we were protecting those caves. And it's not just, people would be like, well, why are you doing that for those tiny bugs? But it's not just for the bugs. It is for the entire ecosystem that lives underground. It's kind of a time warp. Everything underground in the caves just develops slower. So it was very interesting. I got to go into caves and see these bugs were about the size of the width of a dime.
So you had to crawl down into the cave.
Yes, I would go in the caves too, yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of the management we'd be doing from the surface, because caves, groundwater goes into caves and it's a recharge zone into the aquifers. But yes, I have been down in the caves and got to see the...
Gotta be neat.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Gotta be neat.
It was definitely fun.
Yeah. Any stalactites or...
Oh, yeah. Lots of wildlife. So I'd set up a lot of game cameras at the entrances to caves to see who lives in what cave. And it's very interesting. Some of the caves were full of diamondback rattlesnakes. Some of them had black vultures that would nest in there. And lots of bobcats and raccoons.
Yeah. Now, those caves aren't open to the general public.
No, the caves that I was working with were conservation
gotcha.
Areas.
Yeah. When we first moved out here several years ago, one of the things I wanted to do is hike the lava field over there off of 380. And I was telling one of my friends here in town, yeah, I'm going to go take a hike someday and we'll get my proper shoes on and that and walk those lava rocks. And he told me, Bob, you don't want to do that. Why? Ain't going to be fun. He said, rattlesnakes.
Yep.
And he said, big rattlesnakes.
Yep.
And I said, you're kidding me. I knew there'd be some. He said, they're huge rattlesnakes. Don't do it. And I've never done it.
Yeah. Rattlesnakes, what I've learned about them is you'll see certain times a year. So right now is the time to be watching for them. As soon as it gets over 80 consistently, they're coming out of their winter dens.
Exactly.
And they're hungry and they're moving towards, you know, where they're going to be in the summer. Once the heat of the summer kicks in, you won't see them much again until the fall when they start moving back into those dens.
Yeah. So. Have you ever heard anything, Sarah, about the size of any of the rattlesnakes there?
So I've heard all those stories about big rattlesnakes. Never really believed them because most of them I see would be about 4 to 5 feet long. Then one day I saw one. And so now I know they can get very, very, very large.
No, the one day you saw one was more than 5 feet then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. More like 6 to 7 feet and just very thick and wide. It was actually at one of the caves. Around this time of year, I walked up on 2 rattlesnakes mating on top of the cave gate.
And that's in Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to see a lot of them at the
cave.
Good
place for them.
Yeah. Well, rattlesnakes play an important role in our ecosystem. And although they can be intimidating, if you watch where you're going, they're not coming after you. They want to avoid you just as much as you do. So it's just making a lot of noise when you're doing things, don't put your hands where you haven't looked first.
Right.
And they're not that big of a danger. If you don't want them around your yard, then get rid of the habitat and the food. They're there for food, water, or habitat. So
yeah, and they don't want to encounter you. I mean, the thing of it is, if they hear you coming, they're going to move away.
Exactly.
They're going to get out of your way.
Give them the time to move away,
exactly.
And they will. So.
Yeah. I remember, again, Sarah, this goes back in the early days when we had opened this Regency up. The city was overworking over here someplace. And they were redoing some piping and everything, like a drain pipe above a ditch or in a ditch or for whatever. And I got a call from the city. Somebody at the city said, Bob, we're digging up these pipes, plugging out of the ground. We lifted it up, and a bunch of rattlesnakes were in that pipe.
Sounds like you found a den.
Then a rattlesnake, right. And they said, we just wanted to alert you so you can let the residents know there may be a few rattlesnakes roaming around your area, you know. And they like that warm cement you have around there.
Yeah.
You know. And so I put notes up and talked to the residents about it. But I never saw one.
Yeah.
Never saw one.
Yeah, they're very elusive.
Yeah, never saw one. I'm going, I just wanted to see one.
Well, see, they're ambush predators, so that means they pretty much sit and wait for something to come by to eat. They don't actively go out and hunt, so they aren't something you're going to see a lot. You're only going to see it when it's moving from that one location to the other.
Right, very good. All right, Sarah, anything else going on you want to talk about?
So there's one other thing going on Earth Day. After the Earth Day event, the Sierra Club is sponsoring a speaker. The speech is going to be about environmental injustice, past and present. So this speaker is going to be at the NMSUA campus in the ProTech building, 128, and it's going to be at 2:30 after the Earth Day event.
And that's this Saturday then, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very good. We can talk about that. Any other comments this morning?
No, that's good.
We just want to see those people at Earth Day, Alameda
Park.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see everybody out there. Come see all the projects we're working on and all the things going on. The zoo, where I'm having a booth too, so come out and visit. We're going to have some a raffle for some artwork that the animals have created, and we've got an activity to make some track casts of the different animals that we have too.
So. Very good. Now, the animals have created artwork.
Yes.
So I can envision putting some kind of paint on the tail of something and have that animal back and forth with it. But that's not what you do.
No, not quite. Mainly each zookeeper knows their animals the best. So they were able to have them paint. I know the raven that I'm working with, he actually will hold the paintbrush and paint something. Mouse, the kangaroo, she did some footprints. Let's see who else. The monkeys did some painting, and so did the bobcats and the mountain lions. So we've got, everyone's a little bit different, just depending on how they were able to paint. The raccoons were all three of them painted together. Yeah. So, yeah, the zookeepers and the animals had a lot of fun making them. And we're going to do a raffle for people who purchase things off our wish list. On our wish list is a lot of toys and other things for the animals. So they're going to get some toys for all the work they did painting for us.
It's going to be fun. A lot going on this Saturday. Starting at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Until 2 p.m.?
Yes.
Absolutely free. You get to see all the exhibits and the animals and the zoo. Man, it's got to be a great day.
Yeah.
And the weather is going to be really good, it looks like.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day to come out and come check out all the animals, too.
And there'll be plenty of food there to consume. There'll be bottles of water, other soft drinks, and things like that, right?
Yeah.
So you can make it a day there and have lunch there.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be lots to do. Come see the reptile show. Come buy a couple plants. And come check out all of the organizations.
It's going to be fun. Sarah Moody, thank you very much, ma'am, for coming in this morning.
Yeah.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM, Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU, Ruidoso.